May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41. Isaiah, chapter 41. In my Bible, friends, the heading of the columns of this chapter, it states God's declaration of his mercies and promises to his people. Isaiah chapter 41. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought it and done it? Call in the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbour, and every one said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land into springs dry land, springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittah tree and the myrtle and the oil tree, and I will set in the desert the fir and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, and declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good, do evil, or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay, who hath declared from the beginning, that we may know, and before time, that we may say, is he his righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. And I beheld, and there was no man. Even among them there was no counsellor, that when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may help us, may he give us prayer. May he help us each to call upon him. O Lord, we come in our need, in our weakness, in our poverty. We come before thee, Lord, begging now, begging thy help, Lord. Oh, how we've read in the word, thy fear not. Oh, how we need them, that we may have that faith in exercise. We may not fear. Save us from our fears. Save us from ourselves. Save us from our carnal minds, which so often take different ways and different objects she surveys. Oh, do grant us of thy Spirit, Lord. May we be in the Spirit. Put us in the Spirit, Lord. Oh, that we may worship thee. Who knoweth, Lord, those words we have sung in desire and exercise seeking thee. Lord, who knoweth how we do desire to worship thee, Lord, and to rejoice in thee, O God, thou God, our Saviour. O Lord, thou knoweth how thou hast given us, Lord, to come this night, and those things of our ponderings earlier in the day. And Lord, as our dear friend and brother has prayed, oh, to come with a message that thou hast given us to bring, Lord. And oh, Lord, may it be for thy glory. May it be for thy people's good. May there be a portion, Lord, for six, and for seven, and for eight. Thou knowest the number, Lord. Thou knowest who thou hast thy purpose to bless. to receive thy blessing to each soul, Lord. Each one that is before thee now, feeling their need and praying for a blessing, seeking a portion for their soul. Oh, may they not come this night in vain, Lord. May they not be disappointed. Lord, do so suit thy blessing to each one. And Lord, if there are those who have come up unconcerned or sadly indifferent or lukewarm, thou, Lord God, dost know what is needed in their cases. And Lord, if thou dost give them to have to receive a rebuke, we believe, Lord, this will be a blessing. Oh, Lord, it is a blessing when thou dost work for good. For thou dost ever work for good in thy people. And Lord, when thou dost so, in the needed times, Lord, of our cases, come to chasten us, how good it is. For it is whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Oh, how solemn separating is thy word, Lord. If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Oh, Lord, we beg, we may be favoured here tonight, to know we're in that favour of being in the way of life, Lord, being in the way that leads to that land of pure delight at last. Oh, Lord, oh, that we might know, being in the way the Lord met with us. Lord, thou knowest each one of us. We pray for us each. We're of various ages and places, stages in our lives. Thou knowest each one. Oh, we beg thee, do come and in mercy attend to thy people's cases and do them good. Lord, that there may be meat in thy house for those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Those that feel the pain of thirst, Lord, spiritual thirst. Those that feel gnawing and goring pain, as it were, that is so weakening, and they do need to feed upon thee, Lord. But also the pain and guilt of our many, many sins. Oh, Lord, and the mountains, as we've been reading of the mountains, oh, Lord, how we need to see them beaten small. Oh, how we need them to be fanned. How we need to see those that is brought about by the beating of the mountains and making them as chaff. And Lord, a fan that shall blow shall drive them away. Oh, our fears, Lord, the mountains of our fears, the mountains of our trials, the mountains of the things of the opposition of Satan. Oh, the great mountains. Lord, they are. But oh, may the favour be here tonight, truly felt, truly known, that thou dost come, Lord, to deliver, to set free thy people, giving them grace, giving them that enabling to fight, to wrestle. Oh, giving them that grace to endure. Lord, do come and so bless souls here tonight. Thou knowest the younger friends in their pathways. Oh, those things of their daily need, Lord. And those whom thou hast begun to work in, Lord, and not teaching. And Lord, going along in their pathways. And Lord, those in relationships and all those contemplating marriage. Who knoweth, Lord, all what is in thy will concerning them. Lead them on, Lord, give them to be in that favour of being in the fear of the Lord. Thy holy fear, what a favour it is to have thy holy filial fear in us, Lord. Bless them with it. Oh, bless them with that grace, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. Oh, there might be those wonderful favours witness that one and another brought together, heirs together of the grace of life. Lord, oh, we look for these things. We pray, oh, that there may be, Lord, the witness of thy work in precious souls. Thy favour, Lord, to one and another thou hast called by grace, brought out of nature's darkness, and art teaching, Lord, by thy Spirit. Go on to be gracious to them, Lord, and favour them, Lord. May the earnest exercise be given them to seek first the kingdom of God, and oh, to seek to know the Saviour's love. Oh, that there may be in each of us that exercise, that earnest exercise, to know and taste redeeming love. Lord, how poor we are without it. Oh, how we are unsettled and, Lord, not stable and not established without it. We need thee, Lord, to come and bless us, that we may know thee as our Lord and Saviour. We may have the seal of the Spirit, even the seal of thy holy shed blood. Oh, Lord, we may know our redemption, oh, bought with a price. Oh, we may know that favour, Lord, brought nigh by the blood of Christ, that favour to be able to acknowledge thee, O God, our Heavenly Father, who thou hast so given thy Son, and all what he has done, completed, that work appointed him to complete on earth, and is now in at God's right hand in heaven, at thy right hand, dear Holy Father. We pray that we may know the favours that are brought and wrought in and brought in by the sacrifice of Christ and by the resurrection of Christ, thy dear beloved Son. And Lord, that thou art in heaven now at God's right hand. Oh, we look to thee, we trust thee, Lord, for everything we need. So we come with our solemn confessions. Oh, how we feel our guilt. But, oh, Lord, do show us tonight that all our sins are put away, blotted out by the precious blood of Christ. Lord, this is what we need. We pray for this for our friends. We pray we may know it, Lord, be assured of it. We need the application of thy holy, precious blood, Lord, to our hearts and consciences. Oh, this will bring us into that favour that thou dost promise in what we've read, that thy people shall rejoice, like we've sung, desiring that we might be favoured to rejoice in Christ Jesus, to rejoice here tonight in glorious hope of all what thou hast appointed for us, secured for us by thy dear beloved Son. Oh, Lord, and the prospect beyond the grave. Oh, that eternal weight of glory laid up for them that love thee. Oh, Lord, give us a sight of it. Oh, a sight, a glimpse of it in the eye of faith. For, Lord, there are those of us who are getting weary of earth, ourselves, and sin. More and more we are feeling it, Lord. More and more we know and have to consider regarding our mortality, and oh, how great is the importance that we carry, Lord, that we may be prepared for that great day. Oh, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. Do bless the young people, Lord. Oh, if it could please thee, do in mercy work in them in their early days. Those who hast not already, Lord, do according to thy will work and deal with them and teach them and bless them, Lord. Teach them thy ways and thy truths. Show them their need of thee. Convict in some measure them of their sins, Lord, that they may really truly need a Saviour. We do believe that thy way is such. Thee will convince of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. And his sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. So deal with them in these ways, Lord, to make them know their need in these ways, to pray to Thee, to seek Thee, Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. And oh, how Thy word states, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy, and to our God He will abundantly pardon. Lord, we beg we may so see Thy goings in the sanctuary. We pray Thy work may appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children. We pray, Lord, that also there would so favour and set at liberty precious souls, and those that have known something of the liberty of the gospel, may there be exercised in them, Lord, by Thy Spirit, that they should so seek to be able, enabled, to come forth and testify what the Lord has done for their soul. Oh, Lord, we know Thou dost require this, not for or toward our salvation, but Thou dost look for the fruits of the Spirit. And, oh, Lord, how important it is that we should hear Thy voice in Thy commands. Lord, Thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So help us to be concerned and exercise for this, especially that we may love one another. We might not be hard and bitter toward any of our dear friends, our dear people. Oh, we might be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Thou hast commanded us. And, oh Lord, we might have Thy Spirit, and so live by faith upon Thee. And, Lord, that we may, Lord, in these ways, so find our hearts filled with Thy holy heavenly love. We may love as brethren, love one another. Oh, and Lord, that we may show the proof of our love to Thee. Oh, we love Him because He first loved us. So help us, Lord. For there is said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So help us each dear Lord. We pray, Lord, for our country. Oh, in mercy look upon us. Thou knowest the great issues being considered at this time. Oh, Lord, we know. We pray that Thy will shall be done. Lord, Thou knowest how it is so much. Oh, is all of sad things, Lord, of deception and deceitfulness. And, Lord, there is so much deceit and deception, oh, in all these things. And Lord, how, oh, corruption, so much of it. Lord, we do pray, help be with our rulers, our parliament, our majesty the Queen, at this time. All the things of publicity we keep hearing of and reading of, Lord, how so much is so sad. Look in mercy upon England, Lord, still in wrath, remember mercy. Lord, we would not leave Thy throne, the throne of grace, without remembering those in affliction. You know, if we especially think of those we know in affliction, Lord, of those of Thy people, those of our friends, those of our loved ones. Thou knowest my own brother in his case. Thou knowest, Lord, our great concern, Lord. And oh, we come to Thee, Lord, and cast our dear loved ones and friends in and for their cases upon Thee. Look into Thee, the good physician, who understandest all disorders of body, mind, and soul. Sanctify those in affliction, Lord. Oh, Thou knowest those who suffer pain at this time. Thou knowest when it is so hard, when even with the things of modern medication, pain is not alleviated. And oh, how it is suffered, Lord. But oh, in Thy people, we pray it may be so sanctified to them that they may consider thee. Oh, how our mind so often comes to swerve, see, Lord, in a particular time when we claim for the service, and our dear friend who has prayed tonight in the vestry, now knoweth how he prayed on that occasion, when we came with the word, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Oh, what sweet witness, Lord, when we come together and find ourselves in the same exercise. Oh, by thy Holy Spirit, may something of this be wonderfully witnessed here tonight. We believe it has already, and we pray it may more be through this service, and that all may be to thy honour and thy glory, Lord. Sanctify our loved ones in their affliction. Give them to have a little fellowship with thee, if it be thy holy will. Oh, the sacredness of this. We pray for this for any who suffers pain or trouble. Oh, may they consider their Lord. Then we can say by grace, our light, well, supported by grace, are all the afflictions I see. Hear us, Lord, now in heaven thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 616. Precious Jesus, must it be? Is it thy all-wise decree that afflictions must attend Zion to her journey's end? Hymn 616.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the chapter that we read. That is Isaiah chapter 41, and some words in the 16th verse. These words being upon my spirit, we should consider tonight. The latter part of the 16th verse, Isaiah 41. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. As what I said when commencing to read, friends, this chapter is a wonderful chapter where the Lord was, as it were, declaring to his people, to God's people, how regarding his mercies and his promises. And as the chapter begins, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. What a wonderful favour it is if we, by the grace of God, are brought to a time when God so speaks like this. Let the people, may we renew our strength. Let the people renew their strength. And this is what we so much need, friends. So often we get very poor and weak and seemingly very foolish. And sometimes our strength seems, I mean, the strength of believing, the strength of good hope, the strength, the real spiritual strength, seems to be at a low ebb because of our sinning, our wandering, our wicked hearts taking us away. Oh, we go into Bypath Meadow, maybe, or we tending to become neglectful. Oh, how changeable we are. But God's purpose of his holy, sovereign love toward his people is never changing. It's always the same. And he will not leave them. And he will not lose them. He will deal with them so that they shall come to times when they shall renew their strength by the grace of God. And so we have it here in this context. Let us read a few verses which lead us up to the words I've named as a text tonight. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new, sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thrash the mountains, and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. Oh, that we sung in the first verse of the opening hymn, that God's people will rejoice in their dear Lord and Saviour. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in glorious hope by the grace of God. This is what we want to come to tonight. And oh, how we need the Lord to help us. This was what I felt so much this morning, feeling to not have had a very good night's sleep, although I mustn't say it was a bad night. I did have some sleep, but you see, feeling so much poverty and lack of strength, and how we had to beg and trying to read the word at breakfast time. Some of the words I couldn't even get out of my mouth because of one throat, and I felt so much to need to cry to God, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Like the woman who came to the Lord and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I hope I worshipped in a little way, even this morning, because I said to the Lord, none but thou thyself can help me. I can't look anywhere else, I must look to thee, Lord. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And it's the Lord of life and glory, we look to, isn't it? As God so gives us to need, to feel. And like it was with all these things of the context that are named, these mountains that are named here, there are many mountains, aren't there? Your mountains of sin and guilt, your mountains of trouble, your mountains of sorrow, your mountains of disappointment, mountains of tribulation. Oh, so often God uses the term mountains. They're so big that you can't go over them. You find it hard to go round them. You have to face them. But God has a purpose to remove them. He has a purpose to break them down. And this is what we want to consider. I believe this word, this previous verse here, or this verse here, in which this word I've named as a text is found, I believe it does relate to, or the previous verse relates to, the ministry of the word, friends. The ministry. You see, I believe this because of what I've known personally once, having it testified to us by my great-grandfather, who went out into the ministry from Hope Stopfold and preached in chapels in their denomination for a good number of years. His name was William Oliver, and God gave him this word, this 15th verse. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thrash the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. That's how it was applied in his case. And he sent to his pastor, who had removed up to Manchester, and he wrote back, and he said, William, that word you asked me about is the ministry. The Lord knows if there's any one here, God is preparing you for the ministry. This is a word to you. Behold, I will make thee a sharp thrashing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thrash the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. God uses some of his servants for this work, to thrash the mountains, to beat them small. The mountains of pride, the mountains of self-righteousness that so many of us have to confess we've got so much of it. Oh, the mountains of our self-esteem, self-love. They've all got to be beaten small, friends. And God, in his holy will, according to his purposes, he uses his servants to preach the word, and the word is so applied by the Spirit of God, and conviction of sin is so brought upon God's people. They are shown their folly. They are beaten in this way, humbled, broken down, made small. We all need to be made small, friends. We all need to be broken down. We all need to be made to be nothing. Oh, this is what God will do. And if he has a purpose, any one of you dear friends here, for you, for the ministry, will give you to be in exercise, to want to see all pride and self-righteousness and self-love and self-esteem in yourself broken down. And then he'll use you, if it be his will, to break down the pride, high-mindedness and self-righteousness in those precious souls God has purpose to save. The Lord, he has his way, his perfect way in working. But here particularly, in this following verse, they shall fan them. and the wind shall carry them away. Friends, let us personally consider our mountains, our hills, our mountains, our high-mindedness, our pride. It all needs to be broken down, friends. And it's only God's grace. So God working in us. And by his grace that we will be broken down. We will be broken to pieces. We will be made as chaff. You know, we must be careful, for the covering of the wheat kernel, has its place in the growing season. But when harvest comes, that covering of the wheat kernel, which becomes the chaff, is not needed. It's done its job. It's not needed. And it's worthless, really. And it's blown away. Oh, that's a figure, friends. Everything that you've got that's not needed, everything that's not profitable, everything that is so encumbering you and holding you down, it needs and it will be blown away by God. Oh, is there some of you that you've got, you've been blessed, you've been favoured, you've been wonderfully favoured, but you've got a lot that still needs to be blown away. You've got a lot that still needs to be stripped away from you. The Lord will do it in love. He will do it in love. So, friends, consider ourselves, each of us. We've got these mountains. We've got this that encumbers us. We've got the chaff. Oh, we can't feed on chaff. There's no value in the chaff. Oh, we need it blown away. And the Lord says, thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. Friends, it's very important that everything that's not needed. I often think of the late J.S. Green, who was my wife's uncle. He often used the word, especially in conversation, not needed, not needed. And you know, God knows everything about you and me that is not needed. In fact, he knows that ever so much of what is not needed is sin and sinful and adding to sin. And, oh, God has a purpose to rid us of it, friends. Rid us. And if we are to keep silence, as God speaks here, O islands, and let the people renew their strength, the way of renewing of strength is to be willing to lose what is not needed, willing to lose what encumbers us, willing to lose our self-respect, willing to bear reproach for God's dear name. Make me willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy name, and at last be where my Jesus is, and rise to everlasting bliss. Oh, friends, do consider. May the Lord help you, help me to consider all that that's not needed, all that that needs to be blown away, all that that we should be brought to understand and acknowledge it's worthless. Oh, worthless. Oh, and we think of it in terms of material things. It's right and good to have that provided, and that we should be thankful for what God provides in material things for us. But, oh, are we? Are we sadly caught by these things? And in some sad way, we've got confidence in the things that we possess. We've got to leave them, friends. We brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out. One thing is needful, friends. One thing alone. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Oh, singing that last evening. Wonderful theme, isn't it? Oh, Jesus Christ is needful. needful in all stations, while in Meshech I reside. Oh, Jesus is the one thing needful. Friends, so we consider, it's important to consider the context. Thou shalt find them. God will help us to. The servants of God will do it. God will help his people to do it by his grace, giving the enabling grace. Oh, when you say, especially one particular thing, the besetting sins we have. Oh, how you want them gone. And now you can say and speak to your besetting sins, be gone unbelief. My Saviour is near. You need your Saviour. You need to know he's near. You need to know he's with you. You need, above everything else, the Lord, the Saviour. He's your dear Lord, your Redeemer, if you're brought by the Spirit to know him. To know my Jesus crucified, by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I can but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Friends, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Thou hast had so much trouble with unbelief. Thou hast had so much trouble by the temptations of Satan. Satan tempts us, sets attractive things, attractive to the flesh in front of us. In any way he can, he will take our attention away from Christ. He will. If ever he can do it, he will. He'll use all his devices to take your eyes off of Jesus Christ. And oh, how sad that is. Oh, how solemn that is. But oh, friends, the Lord, in his mercy, I hope we can say, deepening in his work in us, he shows us the absolute folly of all the things of nature. Or nothing in wisdom, nor in art, nothing at all compared with Christ. In all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Oh, how important, friends, then. And so here the Lord so wonderfully sets this forth in this chapter. This is what he will do for his people. He will speak the fear nots to them. They need those fear nots. You may feel like a worm. Were their worm, Jacob. You may feel so helpless, so poor, and so much you need the Lord to come and help you. Oh, it says, fear not. Their worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Think of that, the Son of God, he who came and done all that work, completed that work, the wonderful redemption he wrought and brought in by price paid to price his own heart's blood. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Oh, is he thy Holy One? That one who is the Holy One, the highest one, your Lord, your life, your all. Is he precious, friends? Is he everything to you? Your transport and your trust, is he everything to you? Well, the Spirit working in precious souls makes him such. He makes him as a man more precious than fine gold, even a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Is the Lord doing it for you, in you, and for you? If so, it will be. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Thou shalt rejoice. There's so much sorrow, mountains of sorrow, mountains of things which are so hard, and so much we need to be saved from them, saved from the attractions of the things that please the flesh. The mountains of them all, oh, that they may be beaten small and made like chaff, and then that we may have our eyes fixed upon Christ and view him, our Lord Christ, and him crucified, to see him, behold him by faith, to see him here on earth as he walked this earth by faith, to see him go into Calvary, to see him there on the cross for thee. Oh, to know my Jesus crucified. Oh, the favour of this. This is the promise in prospect here, the prophecy here, the prophecy of Christ concerning him. And thou shalt glory, thou shalt rejoice, thou shalt rejoice in the Lord and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. Think of how this word applied to the people of Israel, the prophecy of it. But then when the Lord came and was here on earth, the Jews didn't acknowledge him. Only a very few now of the Jews, Christian Jews. There are very few. The veil is still upon their eyes. They are in the darkness of nature still, so many of them. But oh, how favoured you and me if we can say, I know that my Lord, he has come. He is all over glorious to me. He is my only hope. He is so precious. Having Christ revealed, formed in our hearts a hope of glory. God does this in all those he loves. He makes his dear beloved Son very, very precious. He makes him to become the one thing needful. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. I do believe, friends, that each of God's dear people's experience very much. We mustn't set a standard of a tram line, as it were, for them. Different cases. Oh, and the Lord works in wondrous ways, different ways. But they are, I believe, all taught sin's demerit. They are all brought to know themselves as sinners. They're all brought to feel some measure of conviction of sin. And it's when they are made to become sensible sinners, sensible of the seriousness of their sin, this is when they really need the Saviour. And as they are brought to know solemnly, seriously, becoming solemnly sensible of their serious sins, how then they feel to be in a hopeless place. But then God, in wonderful mercy, his love and mercy, his purpose appears in the working of the Spirit in his people, and they begin to be able to believe in Christ. Christ is revealed, formed in their hearts a hope of glory. Now, let us renew our strength tonight, friends. May the Lord help us, enable us to. Is this so regarding you and regarding me? That God has shown you what you are. He's shown you what a wretched sinner you are. He makes you feel it more and more. But, oh, he has revealed his dear Son, has he? You must answer for yourself. And has Christ been made precious to you? Is he that one thing needful? Have you been given some revelation of a precious Christ? Is he in some measure granted you that you have faith to believe in him as that wonderful Saviour? Oh, what a favour to be brought, to be favoured to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. There's so much to be deeply, solemnly sorry for. Godly sorrow will work repentance in God's people. They will become more and more deeply sorry for their sins. In the beginning of the chapter, we have in the first verse, keep silence before me, O islands, let the people renew their strength, let them come near and let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. This is not the judgment of the great day. This is judgment that God gives his people to have in exercise to consider the realities of their state and condition, of their case, of their standing. Let us come near to judgment, near to this, to the truth, to the word of truth, and to judgment of it. I believe in much of it, it is God gives his people discernment to consider things and to weigh things up in a way with light and some measure of understanding. God gives heavenly wisdom, and his people are brought thus to be concerned, to consider. And if they are favoured in this way to renew their strength, it is in this way coming near to judgment, coming together to judgment. Notice the word together. It's God and his people brought together. It's the Holy Spirit working in God's people. It's the Holy Spirit testifying of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit taking of the things of Jesus Christ and revealing them to his people. And so, friends, oh, is it given you to know these things? That in these ways, much has to be stripped away from you. Much has to be, you have to be beaten small. You have to have all that is not needed made as chaff. But then it's this wonderful favour with the light of the Holy Spirit so shining and giving and revealing Christ. And he is so precious. And they shall rejoice in the Lord. Oh, how shalt thou rejoice in the Lord when God favours you to believe in Christ? When God favours you, that you are enabled to lay hold of the hope in the gospel. When God favours you to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the eye of faith, to behold, you know what John hailed in that way, behold the Lamb of God. We know he is not walking this earth now, he's in heaven. But there is that way, that means, even now, where God's people behold the Lamb of God. By faith, they are blessed to behold him. Come, let us come and behold him. Come and behold him, the Ancient of Days. And how can we behold him? The hymn writer wouldn't want to have written that in any way if it wasn't possible. Oh, by faith. Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. But more than that, friends, like those wise men knew, the Lord of life and glory had come to this earth to be a man and suffer and bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. And he has come. We know that the Son of God is come. But oh, has he given us, John said, and he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. We're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, is the Lord revealing Christ? Is he revealing him more and more to you? Oh, is he bringing you into this favour to rejoice? Oh, and that thou shalt rejoice. I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt beat the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away. And the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Oh, friends, it's wonderfully profitable, wonderful favour to have all the things that are not needed to be considered in the vital things regarding the vital things of your soul salvation. The things of God's providence for you are important, but only as they set the scene for the wonderful way the Spirit works in his people to teach them what they need to know spiritually. Oh, to make them to become favoured to know and to testify. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We often quote that, friends. You may have done. We sing it, don't we? But can you say it? Can you honestly say it? Is that part of your testimony? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust this sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Well, that's the way into this favour. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Thou shalt rejoice, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. See, this word is as a word which is a prophet, a prophecy. This will be so. This shall come to be so. Oh, is it that some are here tonight? Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Thou shalt. You want to know your sins are forgiven. You want to know the Lord suffered for you. Your sins are pardoned. If there are those of you who have had the pardon of sin and you're in a state of darkness or coldness now, you need it renewed. Oh, it is according to your state and case, and God knows what is needed. He knows what is not needed, that all that must be taken away, stripped away. But he knows what is needed, and what is needed is that God's people must be raised up to faith in Christ, faith in the bleeding Lamb. What a gift is this, over salvation in his name, how comfortable it is. So dost thou believe on the Son of God? Can thou, in that wonderful way of favour of God, say that thou dost know thy dear Saviour is thy Jesus, that he's my Jesus? Can you say, my Jesus has done all things well? Oh, have you got this? This way you can rejoice. The characters who can say, my Jesus has done all things well, they are the characters that shall rejoice. Ye shall rejoice in the Lord. Ye shall, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Wonderful favour. And shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. Wonderful thing to be brought to become one of the favoured characters of God's love and grace to glory in the Holy One of Israel. No, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Oh, what a profitable favour it is and experience it is to have everything else made as chaff, and the Lord is everything. All over glorious is my Lord. Oh, that souls here may be blessed in this way. And some of you have been blessed. And I believe there are some of you. If you're to continue in this favour, to rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel, it requires your heart, poor soul. It requires you to profess it. Not to merit anything more, not for any claim of merit, but in obedience, the Lord requires you to confess it. He requires you to testify it, if he's blessed you. If you can say that you glory in the Lord, oh, that he is, you rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. Oh, how solemn it is if we are still silent. We must make it known. We must testify it. We must tell of the love of Christ. We must tell the sinners round what a dear Saviour we have found. He requires it, friends. He doesn't require it for our salvation, but he requires it for obedience. He certainly does. And think of the love of thy Lord to thee. How he loved. Can you say he loved me and gave himself for me? If you're blessed to rejoice in the Lord, that he has come, he has suffered, he's bled and died, he laid down his life, he rose triumphant o'er the grave, he's ascended up on high, he's in heaven now, that one upon whom your hopes of heaven depend, and oh, you glory in him. Because the dear Holy Spirit has revealed this, and he is so precious. Well, thou shalt rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. Glory in him. This is, it is a taste of heaven on earth. It is an experience of glory in that one who has done all things well. It's confidence of faith. It's living by faith. It's living upon the Saviour's merits. It's glory, and everything else is as nothing. Nothing to thee in comparison to your Lord. He is so lovely, altogether lovely, chief among 10,000, your Lord, your Saviour. Oh, my Jesus, has done all things well compared with him. In all beside, no comeliness I see. Everything put in the place, right perspective, the things that are declared here, God declaring, make the declaration of God to his people of his mercy and his promises. And it is glory in the Lord, because though you're still in Meshach in the veil of tears, you have a prospect of heaven, prospect of glory. You glory in the Lord because he alone is that one, that object of your first desire, Jesus. Crucify for me, all to happiness aspire, only to be found in thee. Thou shalt glory. What a favour, friends, to be living, glorying in the Lord. Everything else is dull and dim, but ever so bright before the eye of faith is your Lord. He's the bright and morning star. Tried to preach a stopover from that blessed text. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth come. And him that is athirst, come. And let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, the Lord says, come, come. He says, come in early days of experience. You his people, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe that's earlier on in experience, according to the will of God. And then he says, come, come unto me, the Saviour says, rise and drink at my spring head. Leave all your guilty self behind. Oh, to feed upon him, to receive that living water, to have those supplies from him. Oh, that flows from him. Oh, his sacrifice, his bloodshed, the atonement he brought in, Christ has full atonement made. All his people are forgiven. Rejoice in the Lord that my sins are forgiven. They're blotted out, they're put away. They're all atoned for. Oh, they're gone. Look for them and they're gone. God's put them all away. I blotted out as a thick cloud thy sins. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee, the favour of it. Oh, like the Lord said, neither do I condemn thee. Oh, no, no condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The favour of these great favours. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I'll make thee a new sharp threshing instrument. Oh, may any that must consider that regarding the ministry of the word, the servants of God, their calling is to thrash the mountains and make them small. And I think of it in that way, as I think it's Joel in the word. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. That is a word that God so much caused to be ringing in my ears, as it were, when he thrust me out into the ministry. And friends, how important it is, because we're all sinners, and we've all got a lot of trappings that have got to be stripped away. There's a lot to be sounded in alarm in the Church of God, that sinners might hear and take notice of the alarm and prepare for the battle, prepare to meet their God, prepare to be prepared for that great day. Prepare my soul for that great day of judgment, which is before us. Oh, the judgment of the great day. Oh, to be prepared for it. And oh, there is no other way we can be prepared but by being brought to be, by the grace of God, found in him. And be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. So I beg the Lord that he will apply his word tonight, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ian Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pont on Wednesday evening next week, and the FGEA meeting is at 2:30 tomorrow. Let us close with hymn 970. Holy Father, God of love, throned in majesty above, just and true are all thy ways, worthy of eternal praise. Hymn 970.
Thank you.
Oh, dear Lord, do give us that favour that we may glory in the Holy One of Israel, rejoice in our Lord, our God. Oh, that we may live to thy praise, Lord. May it be personally given us each to be more and more concerned about this, that we should live to thy praise, deny ourselves daily and take up our cross and follow thee. Do so, enable us, Lord, we beg thee, that we may not leave anything undone. Lord, if we are of the favoured number, who the Saviour calls his own, it is not me that we should slumber. Nothing should be left undone. Help us, Lord, we beg. Forgive anything amiss. Oh, bless thy people, Lord. Follow with thy blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.